We are continuing in the series of sermons as the screen is showing you. In the book of Romans, Paul had been writing to the Christians there in Rome. And he'd been writing to them and sharing with them that they had really messed things up. Matter of fact, he said, you know, you thought you were very wise, but all in all, you've been fools. He showed them the three different ways that God judges his people. Then he shared with them some very important information about how they should prepare to meet the judge. And how they should be out of control in their own lives, giving control of their lives over to the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ so that he can lead us as he desires, because he will always lead us according to his perfect will. Then he answered the question, how we can know that we are truly right with God. He shared with us how we should live our lives in 3D, meaning three dimensions, the past, the present, and the future. And that it gives us balance in our lives so that we are individuals that don't go off the deep end or don't fall short of what God is wanting to accomplish in our lives. He also shared with us the lesson in obedience. How we can know that we are being obedient. And then last week we looked at the proper emphasis that God tries to place in our lives, that grace is more important than the law, and that we should know what is the best in our lives. Today we're going to look at God's wonderful promises. Many times when an individual makes a promise, we know that we can trust them because of the past. Now, maybe they are trustworthy individuals, and I knew that when I gave Chrissy the assignment this morning that, you know, to get this all typed out and done, I knew it was going to take place. So I knew when I went in my office that everything was going to be just fine, because Chrissy was going to take care of it. And for that, I thank you very much. I knew that because of the past, she's a very capable individual. She will put herself out in order to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. There are individuals that will make promises, but sometimes break those promises, so that when they make those promises, it's hard for us to accept their word because, well, sometimes they really don't keep their promises. I've known individuals like that. Have you known individuals like that? I think we all have known individuals like that. Matter of fact, there are individuals in my family that when they say they'll be there at 11 o'clock, I will look at Kathy and go, because I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they're not going to be there at 11 o'clock. They might be there at 11:10. Or 11:15, or 11:30, or they may not even show up at all, because that's their standard operating procedure. When we have individuals that break their promises, that ruins our faith in what they say. So if broken promises ruin faith, then promises that are kept should build our faith. And that's why I believe it's important that Paul was writing to the church in Rome about God's wonderful promises. Because God can't break his promises, because they are his. And because they are his, he will uphold them with the power and strength of his almighty hand. I'd like to have you look this morning at Romans, the 6th chapter, and we're going to begin in verse 3. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word, and I know you won't be able to read it there, so you'll have to use your own this morning, okay? Romans, chapter 6, beginning now in verse 3. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, this, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that you are God, that you are King, that you are in control of all things. And yes, there have been so many things that have distracted us this morning, so many things that Satan has attempted to do to remove our focus from what you want to accomplish. So, Father God, I thank you that you are indeed God. You are the one that controls this universe. You are the one that gives us the breath of life. You are the one that controls everything that takes place in this place. And Father God, we pray that today that you would speak to every heart, that you would hold at bay the one that wants to destroy, the one that wants to distract, the one that wants to kill this message. So Father God, we pray that your anointing would flow in this place. And we thank you now for what you're going to accomplish, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The first thing that he brings out is the, I believe, the most important fact, and that fact is this: we are buried with him. We are buried with him. Look with me, please, in verses 3 and 4 once again. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, or because of this, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." The main and most important promise is the fact that we are buried with him. Now, I have to say, we are buried with him is conditional upon one thing. And that one thing is the first thing, and that's the A. It's if we are saved. Write that down in your bulletin. I know it's not on the screen. Well, it is. You just can't see it. If we are saved. If we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior. If we have asked God to forgive us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, if we have accepted what Christ did on the cross at Calvary as full payment for our sin, then we are buried with him. If we have done that, we have died to sin and the appeal that sin has. We have died to ourselves. Now remember, we are born with a sin nature. Amen?
Amen?
And because we are born with a sin nature, we sin. Now, we do not become sinners when we sin. We are born sinners, and because we are born sinners, we sin. That's why little boys and little girls know how to not tell the truth. That's why how little boys and little girls, when they're playing with their toys, don't want to share. Because they're selfish. the old sin nature. You can see it at a very young age. And when another child takes that toy, they get mad and they strike out or lash out at them. That's the old sin nature. But see, if we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we are saved. We have died to sin's appeal. We have died to self. So, if we have died, get this now, we have to be buried somewhere. Amen? Let me tell you something, dead things don't walk around, do they? Only on TV. Have you ever watched The Walking Dead? Oh, I didn't want to go there. Don't want to go there. It only happens on TV. Dead things don't walk around. Amen? Dead things are buried. They have to be buried because they have to be in a place of, get this, separation.
Yeah.
Mm. Why do they need to be separated? Because dead things stink up the place. They do. I'm not telling you nothing that's not true. That's good preaching, by the way. Might not be good English, but it's good preaching. Dead things don't walk around. Dead things stink. And that's why if we are truly saved, we have died to self. We have died to the appeal that sin has in our lives. And so therefore, we must be buried somewhere because we have to be separated from that which is this world. Now, the second thing I believe we need to see is that if we have truly died to our sins, this place of separation is a real place. It's a real place. It's not just a figment of your imagination. It has to be a real place. And that's why God's promise is so blessed in our lives. That's why God's promise is so great and so grand. That promise is this: we are buried with Him. We're buried with Christ. Now, that word buried comes from the Greek word thapto, which means to separate. It means to, let me get the proper verbiage here, to keep apart and to separate. To keep apart and to separate, thapto. But that's not the word he uses. It's synthapto, which there's a compound word in front of that, which is indicative. It's showing position. Synthapto. It's showing a position of where we are buried. It's an actual place. So we are synthapto with Him, indicating where we are buried. We are buried with Him. Now, I was raised on the farm. Because I was raised on the farm, we had livestock. And because we had livestock, when some of the livestock would die, whether it was a cow or a hog or a horse, didn't matter, it was no longer livestock. It was dead stock. Okay, you know, you're getting this. And we would tie a log chain around the back leg of that dead stock, and we would drag it out to the dead stock pile. We had a pile where we let the coyotes do their thing. We would take those dead animals out to the dead animal pile, and it was not a pleasant place. Dad would normally be driving the tractor, and we would be riding along with Dad for one purpose. When we got to the dead animal pile, Dad would pull in just as close to that dead animal pile as he could. And as he pulled into that dead animal pile, he would kind of roll that dead animal over onto the pile, and he'd say, okay, get off. Go unchain the leg. That's what it was like. You didn't dare breathe, or you might get some flies. It's nasty. You didn't want the dead animal pile close to anything. Why? Because it's dead. It's decomposing. It stinks. The coyotes will feed on it for a while, and the other scavengers. But more than that, the flies come down and lay their eggs, and the maggots. Oh, it's just nasty. Are you getting the picture? That's why something that's dead needs to be separated from that which is alive. If we're dead to the things of sin and to ourselves, then we must be buried somewhere. And that's why he used the term sabbato. We're buried with him. It's positional. My kids have not always done things to please me. Have yours? Have your kids always made you promises and kept them? No. They break them from time to time, as do my kids. But you know what the important thing is? Nothing they could do could change the fact that my DNA was running in and through their veins. Positionally, they are always my children. Now, when they were disobedient, when they would break a promise, whenever they were doing things that was not bringing me glory, they were still my children. Although the fellowship may be broken, they were still my children. I used to have my boys helping me whenever I would work and do construction around them. The place. And you know, whenever you're doing construction, you're going to hurt yourself from time to time. Amen? Maybe you know what I'm talking about. You're going to hit your thumb with the hammer. Amen? And it's going to really hurt. And rather than think those ill words and say, marshmallows! Thinking those ill words, and marshmallows can just come flying out of your mouth. I made up some words. I made up some words that don't make any sense to the human ear. Those words are this. Ishmael vantai utai, oh, tani tuk sani tai. You think I'm lying to you? Ask my wife. Because when I'm thinking that, I can't be thinking other things. I can't be doing stinking thinking. Alright? Ishmael vantai uta, hey, oh, atani tatsani tai. Yeah, it means, oh, it hurts real bad. That's what I told my boys. So, my son texts me a picture. Now, he was working out at his place yesterday, and I was not there. And he hit his thumb, had to have done it square on, just boom. The picture of his thumb, it's all black, and the caption underneath it says this. Just a second, I'll get it up here. Just so you know, I'm not fibbing to you. Right there it is. Ishmael vantai utahe, o atani taksani tai. And I responded to him, "Ouchiwana." Meaning, don't hit thumb, it hurts. Yeah, then Kathy picked up my phone and she goes, "Really?" I called him and I said, "Did the neighbors hear you cussing?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you're supposed to say those words before you start cussing." He says, "I couldn't remember them." Listen, if we have died to ourselves, if we have died to sin, we have to be buried somewhere. And the Bible tells us that when we are saved, when we have accepted Christ as our Savior, that we are buried with Him. We're sepultado with Him. That's our position. And sin cannot change that. The things that we do, good, and the things that we do that are bad, cannot change the fact that we are sepultado with Him. We are buried with Him. Now, Paul goes on and says, secondly, that we are raised with Him. Now, you want to write that down in your bulletin as well, since it's not on our screen. We are raised with Him. Look at what verse 5 says. For if we have been planted together in His likeness, what does that mean? Buried with Him. If we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. For if is a conditional clause. If this is done, then that will happen. For if is a conditional clause. If this happens, then that will happen. So it's conditional. See, the law of gravity is not conditional. If you're on this stage or on a ladder in this auditorium, and you fall off of the ladder, you do not fall up to the ceiling. No, no, you fall down to the ground. Amen? That's the law of gravity. And it doesn't matter if you believe it. Doesn't matter if you agree with it. If you fall, you're going to come under the law of gravity. And it's not the fall that kills you. It's the sudden stop. The law of gravity is such that it never changes. The law of electricity, and this is a good one, I like this. Because if you take a hold of live wires, it's going to shock you. But if you're hanging on to someone else and you do that, you don't get shocked. They do. Am I right, Brian? That's right. And if you have two or three people, hanging on, it's the end guy that gets shocked. I can act like I'm getting shocked, but I can smile knowing he's getting it all. Why? Because he's the grounding point. That's the law of electricity. Doesn't matter if we agree with it or not. That's just the way it works. We also have the fact that fire burns. Little kids have to learn that sometimes the hard way. Don't touch the stove is hot. Don't touch the stove is hot. Don't touch the stove is hot. I told you the stove was hot. Guess what? They won't touch the stove again. They found out the law doesn't change. The stove is hot because of fire. God's laws are not conditional. It's cut and dried. That's the way it is. And God says, if this happens, then that's going to take place. If you fall off the ladder, you're going to hit the ground. If you touch the hot wires, you're going to get shot. Touch the hot stove, you're going to get burned. And if you are buried with Him, you're going to be raised with Him. Are you getting the concept? That's what He's talking about. He says, it doesn't matter whether you feel saved or not. There are times that you're not going to do what God has told you to do, and you're going to feel guilty, and you're not going to feel like a child of the King. Because you've been acting like a child of the servant rather than the child of the King. It doesn't matter. If you're saved, You are buried with him, and if you're buried with him, you're going to be raised with him. That's the wonderful promise. This is the wonderful promise of God. Because we are raised with him, we will live for an eternity with him. Wow. I still have a hard time wrapping my brain around that. How long is eternity? It's much longer than my measly life. It's much longer than the history of this world, the history of this country. It's much longer than that. Eternity is hard for me to wrap my brain around. God says, if you're saved, you're buried with him and you're raised with him to walk in newness of life. And that's why when I baptize individuals, I'll baptize them being buried with Christ to be raised to walk in newness of life. It doesn't mean that they're always going to be perfect. It doesn't always mean that they're going to walk the path that God has chosen for them. But it does mean that they are buried with him, and because they're buried with him, they are also going to be risen with him. So I ask you today, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? See, the gospel tells us that God is so perfect that we can't be in his presence without his purity killing us. But it says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? And because of that, we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And that Jesus is the only one that is sufficient to take away our sin. Amen. We have a personal responsibility on this side of glory to make that decision. To make that decision that is eternal. And it's also life transforming. That's why when the invitation is given today, I ask you to come and pray for someone that you know that is without Christ. I ask you to come and pray for someone in your family that needs to have a special touch from His almighty hand. I ask you to come and pray for yourself so that you might be able to sense his presence today in this place, touching your heart and leading you in his perfect way. If our worship team will come. Let's all stand. Father, we come today before you. We ask you, Father, to have your way in our lives. And Father, if there's someone here that does not know you as Savior and Lord, we pray that today will be that day that they give their heart, that they give their life to you, and that they accept the blood of Jesus as full payment for their sin. And through that, they might come into your presence covered in the righteousness of Christ. So today, Father, we ask that you have your way in every heart that is here. And Father, that we might truly know that you've been in this place and that you have talked to us personally. And we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name.